Hello and welcome to the Royal College of Speech and Language Therapists news podcast for September 2022. I'm Vicky Harris, and today I'll be chatting with Derek Munn, RCSLT's Director of Policy and Public Affairs, to discuss how politics and public affairs impacts on speech and language therapy. Morning, Derek.
Good morning, Vicky.
So, taking a step back, first of all, to look at the big picture. This month has seen much change for the UK, with Liz Truss taking the role of PM, and then the passing of the Queen and the accession of the King. I wondered, did you have any reflections on this time, please, Derek?
Thank you, Vicky. And yes, we're recording during the period leading up to the funeral of the Queen. And we, of course, like everyone else in the country, have sought to be respectful in our communications and to offer our condolences to the Countess of Wessex, our royal patron, because at the end of the day, we recognise that this is also a family in mourning. The Royal College is proud of the royal, and we know the history from George VI to the Queen Mother. We know that the support the royal family gave to us, both in our 25th and 50th anniversaries. So we've tried appropriately to mark and respect what happened in respect of Her Majesty the Queen. As you say, immediately before, we had the appointment of Liz Truss. And she didn't really talk about health. When I say NHS, obviously I know that health is more than the NHS, but let's use NHS as a proxy. She didn't really talk about the NHS during the Conservative leadership campaign in July and August at all. Different audience with the country. When she made her speech outside the door of number 10, she did for the first time say the NHS is a priority. Now, it's straws in the wind, really. A lot has been made of comments she wrote, over 10 years ago, in which she said things like, the NHS is a sacred cow. We don't need to give it so much public money. We need to look to the American system. At that time, paying for GP appointments was also in the mix. Truss's team have said, oh, this was all a very long time ago. What we do know, of course, is that the national insurance rise that she has made such a big deal of cancelling was earmarked for recovery money for the NHS, and then for social care. But I may have more to say on that later on.
Thank you, Derek. Of course, we also have a new person at the top for English Health and Social Care. So Therese Coffey was appointed as Secretary of State for Health and Social Care and Deputy Prime Minister as part of the new cabinet. I wonder, what do you think we can expect?
It's quite funny. Not long after Therese Coffey's appointment, I was sent through a briefing note, and it began by saying, Ms. Coffey has no known background in health and social care. Okay. Now, I mean, speaking as someone, you know, people will know my own background in politics, and that's okay. You know, ministers are not managers. You don't need to be a subject expert in the area for which you're a minister. But it doesn't appear to have been a political interest of Ms. Coffey. What she has said is that, for example, her strong Catholic faith is a driver of what she does. She has, you know, is known to be a smoker and has consistently voted against any controls on smoking. Interestingly, over the summer, she, as part of the campaign, explicitly said that you shouldn't pay for GPs because it was being mooted by Rishi Sunak's team. So we can compare and contrast what Therese Coffey now says now with what Liz Truss said a decade ago. She also has said, notwithstanding that Liz Truss has said the national insurance rise will be cancelled, that there will not be any detriment to the health and care budget, that the £36 billion that was already projected to come from the national insurance rise, of which £5 billion was going for social care, will be maintained from general taxation. But given that there's a commitment not to raise tax, that implies that £36 billion is going to have to come from elsewhere in the government spending. Early straws in the wind, there's been a lot of briefing that the anti-obesity measures that were due to come in are likely to be cancelled. And then people would have heard the soundbite where she said her priorities will be A, B, C, D. Ambulances, the backlog, care. First of all, she just said doctors, and then she made it doctors and dentists. So for those of us who spent a long time, years, trying to ensure that the full health and care workforce is recognised, to hear the new health and care secretary say that her focus is doctors is a little alarming. And a number of chief executives of professional bodies, for example, Karen Middleton at the physios, were quite arch in their response to that. I think it's important to say, though, that quite a lot of the work we do with government falls to junior ministers who tend to have the portfolios that affect us more. So we will be watching more closely who are the junior ministers in health and what portfolios do they get. An example would be Will Quince. So Will Quince was previously at the Department of Education. He was children's minister, someone with whom we were building a relationship. And he is very strong on anti-obesity measures. And, you know, so it would depend how those dominoes fall.
Thank you, Derek. So a lot of wait and see what happens. And what are the other issues for your team right now?
Look, with the summer coming to an end, and obviously the pause because of the passing of the Queen, many of the issues are the same as last month and previous months. I mean, a couple of quick updates. When Parliament does reconvene, we'll continue to work with a coalition of dozens of other organisations to try and ensure that speech and language is appropriately recognised in the Schools Bill in the UK Parliament. Preparing for pre-legislative scrutiny of the Mental Health Bill. I would mention something that's a bit technical, but it's important in Wales. In Wales, there was a system called streamlining, and it was intended to try and make sure that the Welsh health workforce grew its own, as it were, by taking people from Wales, going to university in Wales, getting a post in Wales. It didn't work in reality, and we were looking at 50% failure rate in recruiting to new grad places. And after intensive behind-the-scenes work from our Wales team, that's now been accepted and that's been overturned as a policy, which is good. But I think what's come to the fore most particularly recently is confirmation of the ongoing challenge of working conditions in the NHS and what that means for morale and the dilemma that people face in providing a quality and ethical service. And I guess from the Royal College, we just want to stress to members, we get it. We understand, and we understand the priority to morale, to well-being, to support, to do things with sufficient quality and ethics, and overlaid all of that, the cost of living for speech and language therapists, but the cost of living for people with whom we work as well. We are in close consultation with Unite, and we understand that Unite is balloting around industrial action, and we are keeping very close to them through all of that. We are working intensively on gathering data around vacancies and challenges of recruitment, projecting that. We have a bilateral meeting on workforce with NHS England next week, for example. We have run through the list of resources and supports for people, some of which you're involved in yourself, Vicky. We are looking at supplementing what we've already put out about integrated care systems with a note on how the guidance that's been published can be used to support locally. But I think the message I would want to leave listeners with is you're telling us just how tough it is out there. We get it and we're going to respond.
Thank you, Derek. Okay, we'll be back next month with another briefing. But until then, thank you.